Hello, welcome to the New River Church podcast. We're so pleased to have you join us today. We hope that today's message uplifts and inspires you. If you would like to learn some more about New River Church and what we're all about, just check us out at newriverchurch.org.
All right, we are going to be in Genesis chapter 17 this morning, so you can go ahead and make your way there. But before I start reading and give a little bit of background, let's go through our memory verse and say it together. So, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hebrews 6:12. Thank you. Awesome. So chapter 17, I'm going to go through it this morning, and I've divided it into four parts. And then once we go through them, I'm going to go back through them and give some practical application for what this means for our lives right now. So I've broken it into God's covenant, which we're going to hear, the sign of the covenant, the clarity of the covenant that God gives to Abram, and then the Abram's response to the covenant. So we're going to go through those this morning. So a little bit of context. It has been 13 years since God has spoken, and we have heard anything since last Sunday in our scripture. The last we heard, Sarai gives Abram her slave Hagar, and she conceives and has a son, Ishmael. And that's the last thing we heard last Sunday. And then there's nothing. The Bible doesn't have any other notes or anything. We don't know. Like, as far as we know, Abraham's not hearing anything from the Lord during this time. He's just walking along. And so this is where our scripture picks up today. So we're going to begin by reading the verse 1. And then we'll go through 17 and we'll come back and talk about it. So verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants, and after you and the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you must be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you for the generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went out from him. on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and he circumcised them as God had told them. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. So if we go back to the beginning of chapter 17, at this point, Abraham is 99 years old, and God appears, similar to when he spoke back in chapter 15 when Robin covered it a few weeks ago. God shows up, and the first thing he does is he says, "This is who I am." He sets the tone for the conversation. So back in 15, when he spoke up in chapter 15, he said, "I am your shield, your very great reward." And here, God says, "I am God Almighty." This is the first time in scripture he calls himself, "I am El Shaddai." I am the one who's in charge. And that's important for us to remember as we're going through our life, when we're thinking through things, problems, just day to day, is that who's first? Like, what does God say about himself and about his character? This is where we should be. Because when God loses his place in our life, and it's not really him changing, it's us moving him, right? That's when stuff starts to go haywire and we let the enemy have some room to play. So God says first, "This is who I am." And then he begins to tell Abraham what his role is in this. He says, "Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." So the word walk, this was chosen on purpose, as are all God's words, but walk is not the same as running ahead and burning out and getting too tired. It's not the same as sitting still and getting stale and getting stuck. But walking is a very like steady pace, one foot after the other, remaining faithful, just keep going, stay with me. And before, he says, walk before me, and Hebrew context meant for in regard to. So God is saying here, just walk at a steady pace, walk for me, walk with what I say to do, walk as I speak to you. And then he says, be blameless. So this doesn't mean he's saying like, walk with me and then now don't sin. He's saying that's not what blameless means. So notice the order of which God says them. He says, first walk, so get a nice steady pace. You're just staying faithful. You're being with me. And then because of you walking with me, so this is God math, because you walk faithfully with me, then therefore you can live a blameless life. And that means complete, whole, unimpaired, upright. So life with God means God plus nothing else equals the ability to walk out a blameless life. And that's what God's saying to Abraham. He's saying, all you're doing is sticking with me, and then I'm going to help you walk this life that I have for you. So back in verse 2, God restates his covenant. I will make my covenant between me, so God's covenant, not Abraham's doing, me and you, your numbers will increase. This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. And then Abraham's response is he falls face down in reverence to God and he listens. So in verse 5, it says, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham." So why did he change his name? Well, when we call ourselves names, like when we name people, or when we just think of names for ourselves, we tend to put our names on the kind of person we are or the things that we do. We might not call each other the best kinds of names, but when God names us, he names us for how he created us to be and how he made us to be. So Abraham means father of multitude. So to come up underneath the promise, God said, your name doesn't cut it anymore. Like, I have a plan for you, and so I'm changing your name to match that plan. So you are now going to be called Abraham. God means it when he calls us by name, because this is who God made Abraham to be. And then he gives five I will statements to Abraham. And this is, again, this is God doing this work, all what he's going to do through Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant with you as an everlasting covenant with me and your descendants after you and all the generations to come. I will give the whole land of Canaan to you and your descendants, and I will be their God. Notice it's all about God all the way through those promises. And I love in verse 8, it says, the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the place you are not welcome, Abraham, this is yours. Back a couple weeks ago, we heard that Abram at the time was he was identified as a Hebrew, which meant he was a foreigner. He didn't fit in. So God's saying the land that you have now that you don't really belong in, that you like got stuck with. Remember, Lot took the like good land and Abram got stuck, you know, just with some other land. God's like, guess what? It's all yours. And it's going to belong to you and your descendants forever. Like, how awesome is that? That this is the promise he makes. So then once God said, here's all the things I, God, am going to do, he says, and now, as for you, Abraham, this is your part. He says, as for you, in verse 9, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants. Every male among you is to be circumcised. So first he says, keep my commandment, which means watch, preserve it. So Abraham, all I want you to do is I want you to make sure that this is followed. I'm going to do all these other things. You're just going to stick with me and you're going to make sure that this sign is fulfilled. So when every male is circumcised, it's a cutting away of the old flesh. So get rid of the old, make way for the new. That's God's symbol of his promise on Abraham and all of his descendants. Charles Swindoll said, God didn't give instructions to shave your head or get a tattoo or cut off your little finger. He didn't give the sign as a public declaration. It was to serve as a personal symbol of a man's participation in a covenant he neither deserved nor chose to receive. It was given to him by virtue of being born a descendant of Abraham. So this marked that males were now sons of the covenant. They were brought in with it. So then in verse 15, now it's Sarai's turn. So God has given all of these promises and these pieces. He's giving some clarity to Abraham, and he also has a piece for Sarai. He gives her the name Sarah. So Sarai meant my princess, which is like a more like personal. And when he changed it to Sarah, that means princess or noblewoman, because she's the mother of the nations now. And so as I was thinking through it, like this is from my lens, like how I would view. If I was in her shoes, like she's 90 now, which is young, but not generally the age in which you have children, you know, and she had this role, like descendants, right? That's extremely important. How can you carry on your name? We learned that Abram last week, I think, was worried, or the week before, was worried that it was going to go to a slave, a servant of his. And so for Sarah, like that would have been a big weight for her. Maybe she doesn't feel worthy to be called princess, but God's like, again, I don't name based on what you can or can't bring to the table. Like I name you how I designed you to be. So he changes her name to match what his work is in her. And then he also gives her two promises. He says, I will bless her and I will surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her as well. So God finishes giving this, these statements to Abraham, these promises. And Abraham falls face down and he laughs. And he's like, but I'm 99. And Sarah's 90. Like, I hear what you're saying, God, but maybe when you first told us this 24 years ago about, maybe that's when this was supposed to happen. Like, how can you do this now? We have tried it the natural way and that didn't work. So instead, God, we have Ishmael. So this is who you're going to use to fulfill this promise, right? Like, this is who you want. Like, what about him? And God is so gracious here. I love the way he answers. Because he says, yes, but your wife, Sarah, she's going to bear the son. And then he gives them the name Isaac, which had to have sounded so sweet to Abraham's ear to hear the name of like their future son. And he says, I'm going to establish the covenant with Isaac. And my promise is going to extend directly through your family line. And then I love, he says in verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. So Abraham presents the pieces to God, and it's not God's way to like use Ishmael to fulfill the covenant, but God says, I hear you, which tells us that when we have like our pieces of the puzzle and we're like, hey, God, I thought this was, God's like, I hear you. I see what you're saying. Like, I want you to come like my way, but I hear you. And I love that God is faithful in that way to us. He didn't have to say that. And he says, I'm going to bless Ishmael too. Like Isaac gets the covenant, but Ishmael gets the blessing. And I love that about God here. And then God gives a timestamp. He says, this time next year, that they will have their son Isaac. So they have to be, like, hope has to be renewed. Like, they have to be very excited at this point to hear they have a name and a timestamp. So now with all of these pieces, right, Abraham has again heard the covenant. God has explained it out. He's given him his role. God has given Abraham his role to play in the covenant. And now Abraham has a choice. God has laid out all the truth before him. He's given him all of the pieces. He's told him, hey, some of this is going to happen pretty soon. But Abraham, what is he going to do about it? And in verse 23, Abraham doesn't wait. It says, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born inside, outside of his house, whether like a part of his family, like or not, he had them all circumcised. And three different times it calls out, Abraham took his son Ishmael. And then it says Abraham and Ishmael. And then in verse 26, it says it again. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. And I don't want us to miss that because I think the reason why it's calling that out again is because Abraham did not withhold any part of his life. Like he brought every male, like the Lord had asked, under that lordship. And even Ishmael, for the last 13 years, Abraham's like, this is the son. This is how the covenant's going to be fulfilled. And even that, he surrendered to God and had him circumcised as well to say, God, I give you every piece of my life, the pieces that I came up with on my own, all the pieces that are yours, like it's all yours, God. And so that was Abraham's stance. Once he received the promises, I choose to live under what you say, God, and what you say is true. So at the end of chapter 17, we've seen kind of like a shift in Abraham's, the way he is, right? Like he's come, he falls on his face. He's come in complete and total surrender. He's given all that he has to the Lord. And he's like, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk faithfully with you. And we'll see this start to play out in the way that Abraham, his actions, and we've seen some of it, right? But his faith is growing deeper. And then next week in chapter 18, the conversations that Abraham has with the Lord, as he pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah, show us like he's speaking as a partner. He's speaking as he really believes that he's a part of this covenant and that he's under the promise of God. And so he's able to have those conversations with God and act like God's friend and God's partner. So now that we've gone through those, the covenant, the sign of the covenant, the clarity, and then Abraham's response, I'd like to do the same thing, but kind of apply it to one of God's promises to us. God has given us so many promises. I mean, God's word is chock full of hundreds of them and ones repeated different ways and all different kinds of scenarios that God has given specifically to us. So as I was praying about it, the promise that God made to us that we are his children of God by faith and him, that one stuck out to me, and I found Galatians 3, specifically verse chapter 3, verse 26. But then this whole chunk of scripture, it actually ends up pointing back to Abraham's promise too. So we get double promises today. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll go through it. In Galatians 3, 23 to 29, before the coming of the faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified with faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, the law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Super cool. So not only are we his kids, we also fall under the promise that Abraham received too from the scripture. So double promise for us this morning. So this promise means, and I think we mostly got it, understand it, is we have a covenant promise. I am a child of God. If I believe in Christ, so we've got the covenant. I'm a child of God. The sign of it was Jesus came and he paid the ultimate price for me to be able to bring me under that covenant. So his blood on me cleansed me of my sins. And now I'm allowed to come up under that covenant. I'm one of God's children. The clarity is that I'm no longer a slave. I'm not underneath the law anymore. I've been bought with a price. I'm made clean. So now with each of those pieces, it's up to me what my response is. Each one of us are presented with that same promise. Like, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to have faith? Are we going to fully surrender and say, God, this is all yours. And that's all he's asking us to do. Jesus took our place. So all we have to do is have faith and believe and walk out who he is. So if you can imagine, I see this promise, I'm the child of God, like a big golf umbrella. Okay, so God is holding up this giant umbrella over top of me, and it's huge. He's holding it. I'm not holding it. I'm like putting out my hand like I'm him, but I'm not doing anything. My job is just to walk faithfully with him. His promise over me. Now, I also get a new name because I've come up under the promise as a child of God. My name is Audrey, but I'm daughter. When God sees me, he sees me as daughter. If you're male, he sees you as son. And that's like a personal like name. I'm now one of his kids, okay? He's renamed me. He's given me the truth to live under. And I can safely walk under that umbrella. It gives me full protection. However, it's still my choice whether I'm going to live under the truth or I can step outside of it. God's not moving that umbrella around. It's not like I have to chase his promise. He doesn't force me into it either. I am fully protected. Once I accept Christ, I'm fully under that promise. But it's my choice if I want to live out of who he says that I am. And we saw this with Abraham and Sarah, right? In chapter 12, God made the promise to Abraham. Look, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to be the father of many nations. Like, I'm going to bless all your descendants to come. Like, that was true. That never changed. But we kind of, you know, depending on what's going on, like we sometimes tend to like maybe listen to some outside things and not live out of who God says we are. So if we take this example of being a child of God, and I will use myself as the example. So I've been bought with the blood of the Lamb. I've been freed from the punishment of sin and death, freed from the burden of the law. So how would I find myself living? God's promise doesn't change. How do I find myself living outside of that promise? Well, recently, because whenever I do these types of things, God's always like, I'm going to use this personally in your life. So I've been feeling for a while that the next layer of my sanctification onion was tied to fear. And he's been kind of like bringing it up through like women's retreats and like different sort of like sermons and different things daily that he's like, I think we're going to go after this one next. So I have believed or lived that I have to be doing something all the time. And whatever I'm doing has to be the right thing, has to be perfect. And if I'm not doing something all the time, then everything's going to fall apart. So that's kind of the thing I developed, not on my own, took slowly over time. This has been developed for some amount of years or whatever. The enemy has been slowly telling me things. Now, we just read that because of Christ, I'm a child of God, which means I can depend on my dad. My heavenly father, he's got me completely covered. He doesn't ask me to do all the things. He doesn't ask me to take care of it. He just says, walk faithfully with me and be blameless. Like, stick with me and I'll take care of the rest. But for some amount of time, I've been living like if I don't do something, everything's going to fall apart. So I let doubt creep in. So I was umbrella. God was holding it for me. And I want to be clear here. The enemy has no power to pull me out. Like there is no, he cannot take me out. Okay. I am fully God's child, always will be. That's not going to change. But I can, when the enemy says stuff, it's my choice to listen and then be like, oh, I'm going to live outside of this or to stay and keep God's truth as the truth. Okay. That's a choice. The enemy can't take me out. It's a choice there. So he was shooting things my way. So over time, he knows what the Bible says. So I'm walking along with God. Here comes the enemy. He knows what the Bible says. He knows that it says I'm a child of God. He knows what Jesus did on the cross, okay? He was there. He saw. And he, just like he knew the promise to Abraham and Sarah, he knew what God had promised them, that they were going to be the mother and father of nations, that this was God's covenant promise. He knew. He saw what was coming. And so he then tries to tell me things to get me to live outside of like what God has said. So those, for me, started to sound a little bit like they do in Genesis 3 when the serpent came to Eve and said, do you really believe that? So for context, some of the lies are the things that he used for me, I'll share. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two boys. I homeschool the older one, and the younger one has been in preschool. And we bought a house about a year ago. So some of the more recent things that I'm sharing, they have to do with those. So it'll make sense. So the enemy said things to me like, you don't really believe that God is taking care of everything, do you? What about all those books that are written out there about how to get things done and doing things efficiently? People aren't just writing those books for fun. Like, people are reading them. You should probably read some of them. What about all the times you don't put in as much work? And then the thing that you like did halfway like doesn't go well and things fall apart and you're like, man, I should have probably been taking care of that. What about, what do people think of you? You're going to become lazy. You're going to be thought as lazy. I mean, look at you. You've lived in your house almost a full year and all the walls aren't even painted. Currently right now, this is real truth. In our kitchen, there are 6 paint samples on the wall and they've been there since February because we can't seem to decide on a paint color and I don't have time for that. So the enemy's like, literally, like, you can't finish painting this room and you're literally home all day. Like, yes, you're homeschooling your child, but you're here. Like, the walls aren't going to paint themselves. I mean, look at this stuff. Do you think God is really proud of how you spend your time? If you really used it efficiently, like the great engineer you used to be, you'd be able to do more. You'd have more time to read like you keep wanting to do, and you'd have more freedom to do the things you want. So those didn't all come at once. And like, yes, they're very like, when I read them now, I'm like, these are ridiculous. But this is how the enemy works. He starts really small, and we're like, oh, that does kind of make sense. That I could see that. I could see that. And then slowly over time, he connects it until I'm fully like, yep, don't have time for this. Like, yep, I got to do all the things. So all of that hot mess that was getting sent my way, instead of going to God, and I probably did in the beginning and then slowly didn't anymore. Hey, God, what do you think about my walk? How do you think it's going? Like, do you think I'm doing okay, like, walking with you? God, what do you think about me? Hey, I'm still your daughter, right? Like, get asking for those reminders, right? But instead, I start toying with some of those ideas. I start thinking that if I don't keep everything in motion, my life's gonna fall apart, right? So guess where I'm standing now? Not under that umbrella of promise. God hasn't moved. That promise is the same. I'm still a child of God. However, I've decided to create my own thing. And I see it as, I can see it's like a cartoon umbrella. If you ever watch, I think like Bugs Bunny or something, they like open an umbrella, gets struck by lightning. It turns to like just metal and then it turns to like a dust and basically falls. That's the kind of umbrella I've just built. So that's the one I'm now under. So through this process, I got to a place where these are the 3 lies that I'm not leaving. So this is what the Lord revealed to me, yesterday, that the 3 lies I was living under were 1, that if I don't do something, everything's going to fall apart. 2, I'm not doing enough and I have to contribute. And 3, I'm a lazy person if I'm not doing anything. So what happened to God's promise? He didn't break it. He didn't change it. It's still there, right? Just like Abraham and Sarah, time's passing by, but God's promise remained the same. God hadn't forgot about it. He hadn't forgot about them. He hadn't forgot about what he's going to do. I mean, we have the whole Bible full of what he did through their line, right? But God hadn't forgot about any of that. God's promise was still active. So what does my life look like now outside of his promise, right? Because I'm not hanging out where I should be. And I'm lost. What are the patterns of my life now? Like, what does my life look like? Because living under God's word, that blameless lifestyle is what comes out. Once I come under my own fake umbrella and pick up those lies, I'm now developing different patterns. So for me, that looks like I start obsessing about things, which gives me more anxiety. I add in my own commandments, like God says things have to be clean. I start stewarding my time wrong, and I probably stewarded some of our money wrong too. I push God aside because I've got stuff to do, and he wants me to get stuff done because he's got some new commandments I created. And so therefore, to make him happy, I have to do those things. I also start to live more out of the curse of sin from Genesis like 3:16, which God told Eve, like, yes, right, as a wife, as a woman, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you, okay? That wasn't how it was originally designed. And because of that, my husband, Chris, I put his happiness up there. I'm like, he has to be happy. If I don't make him happy, then he's not a good dad and he can't take over our family and he's going to do terrible at work because he's not happy anymore. So I have to make him happy and my kids have to be happy. Oh, why are they acting out? This is all on me. I've got to be doing more. I need to read more books or do more things, but I don't have time to read. So like, this is like spiraling out, right? And then I'm justifying it because now I've let it become so part of my natural thinking. And I'm a logical person. Like, I feel like I'm decently like smart, but this is where I found myself. Like, I'm rationalizing it. And I'm saying like, I love problem solving. Like, God gave this to me as a gift. So if I don't try to solve everything, like, I'm basically wasting what God has given me, right? So I just need to keep on going and keep going. So fast forward to yesterday, and I'm sensing this umbrella is not doing the trick anymore. The Lord's been slowly showing me, like, hey, this isn't really, like, keeping you safe anymore. And it's holding me back from making decisions that Chris and I are trying to make. I'm literally, like, crippled because I have built something else. And so therefore, we can't make decisions for our family because I don't have truth to stand on. It's there. I've just buried it under other lies, not truth, like fake ones, okay? And this is where I show up. So I felt the Lord say to me, you need to ask me, like, why can't your faith grow any deeper? And, like, what's holding you back? So I'm like, all right, God, what's blocking me? And so God graciously revealed those three lies that I said about how I feel the need, how I think I'm going to be lazy if I don't. He reminded me of his promise, not only in Galatians that I'm his child of God. He also brought quickly to mind Colossians 1:17 that says, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. He told me that the only thing I have to do is be with him. Remember that walking? That I'm doing what he gave me to do, and that's enough. He said he's in control of how to balance my life. I don't have to figure that out. That the work before me is the right work that he wants me to do. And that when I do the work for him out of that place, out of the place of being a child, I'm doing it out of my love for him, not out of fear. Not fear that things are falling apart, but because I really love God and he really loves me. And I can then work and have joy in my work. So God presented all of those things to me, and I have a choice, just like Abraham did. I can say, well, like, that sounds nice, but, like, I don't really know if you're going to be around for me. Like, you know, oh, I can continue to, like, toy with it and be like, well, maybe I can get this umbrella working again. Or like Abraham did in verse 23, on that very day, he didn't waste any time. I can say, God, I exchange my broken umbrella of lies for the truth of your word and your promises. And as soon as I do that, as soon as I say you can have it all, God welcomes me back. Remember, he's been there the whole time. He's like, literally, like, just, I'm right here. Just step back in. My arms are open. And I can hand him all the pieces. I can say, I'm really worried about this. I'm really confused about this. I have too much anxiety. What about Chris? What about Harvey? What about Stuart? What about all these things we're trying to figure out? And I can give him all the pieces, and he says, I've got them. And I can just pick up by a nice, steady pace again. I can breathe again. I can relax again. Just like God asked of Abraham, like, this is what he's asking us to do. It's just to give him, just to believe the truth of his promise and just step under it, and God will handle the rest. So this morning, as we close, the worship team can come forward. I want us to do the same thing. I'd really like us, I believe God wants us to do that, right? In order to get deeper with him, to pray and ask God, what's holding me back from a deeper faith with you? What are things that are coming up that keep trying to pull me out of my relationship with you? Remember, God's promises are there, but God, what's blocking me from seeing the truth of your word? God, what have I let build itself up between me and you? What's got in the way of the safety of your umbrella? And whatever things are coming to mind, like, there's no shame, there's no, like, but I've known God forever. How could it be possible these come up? Whatever little thing that is, take it to God. And if it seems like, if your first thought, if something comes to mind is, well, that seems silly, don't ignore that. Because that's probably the thing that's going to crack it wide open. Because what the enemy likes to do is either blow things out of the water, like, this is the end of your life, this is all ruined, whatever, or he likes to minimize things and say, this doesn't really matter. But what we tend to see is that there's usually, like, some, like, web that's been woven through time that started out as something tiny that he leached onto and then built up, right? Like, I know that God is always with me, but somehow I began to believe that I had to be the one to hold it all together. When he's the one that holds it, and his promise never changed for me. And then once those things come up, take them to God. Ask him what he says about them. Say, God, can you give me the truth to battle this lie? Like, I don't even know if there's any truth to combat what I'm hearing from the enemy. God, can you please reveal yourself? Can you show me? God, what do you think about me as your child? God, what do you think about me in my walk with you? I know he's going to say, I'm proud of you. I'm happy to be with you. Like, these are some things where I'm like, what? And God's like, I'm just happy to be with you. I want to just spend time with you. Come be with me. That's all he asks us, right? And his word, multiple times, he says, come to me. And our God gets the final word, okay? So whatever he says, that's it. Those are the words that we can live by and live to the full. So just ask God. He really does. He's the only one. Everything else will fade away. Just say, God, I just want to live out of who you say I am and how you made me to be. So as we get ready to close, our altar's open. This side, you can come to if you want to pray alone. If you need someone to pray with you, please come over here. I'm going to pray us out, and then we'll sing one last song. God, I thank you so much for your goodness to us and your faithfulness to us. I thank you that your word never returns void, Father, that your Son gave his life on the cross so that all we have to do is walk faithfully with you. Father, you don't force us into anything. You don't move, Lord. You stay steady and consistent, and you call us back to you. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you are so patient. Please forgive me for the times that I run around and try to do other things, God, when you are the only one for me. God, you are my dad. You are the lover of my heart. You are the one that keeps me safe. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your truth. I pray that you would give all of us here courage and strength to ask the hard questions. But knowing that you are a kind and gentle Father, who is willing to take all the pieces and all the hard parts and the parts we've ignored, Lord, you're willing to take all of them and help us sort them out. God, it's your word, it's your truth, and we want to cling to that, Father. Please give us the strength to do that. We love you and we give you all the glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. That wraps up today's word. We are grateful you joined in, and if you would like to hear more or learn more about us, feel free to check things out over at newriverchurch.org.